Shlomo HaMelech believing that he was able to transcend the rules of the Torah. When the Torah gives a reason, it says, don't marry above 18 women. He figured, I can go all the way to 1,000, another extra 982, and it won't make a difference because they're not going to make my heart deviate from the way of God. That was Shlomo's thinking. And then we learned that for that reason he was called a name in his own sefer that he penned through Ruach HaKodesh. He was called Agur ben Yaka because he gathered Divrei Torah and he regurgitated them. And he was Isiel, that he said, I can have God with me, and Yacholit Modedito, like you say in Ivrit, I can measure up to him, and Avauchal, I'll be able to defeat, to do my thing. But then what happened? The ending wasn't too good. It says that when he was old, his wives caused his heart to turn. So on that, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said that Shlomo, first of all, not only did he dub himself in Mishle in a derogatory way, but here, where the incident that earned that derogation is recorded, that his wives caused his heart to take a little spin in the wrong direction. So Shlomo would have rather, it says, dug out cesspools than have such a thing written by him, eternalized about him, in the Tanakh. That's basically where we are. So, v'lochach, for that reason, we go back to Shlomo. It says that he turned himself away, ufanisi ani, I turned myself away to see chokhma, das, haylelus, v'sichlus. I looked at what wisdom is, what discernment is, and what haylelus and sichlus are things that are silly and are for nothing. So he says like this, Omar Shlomo, Shlomo said of himself the following. It's not easy for those who are far less wise than Shlomo to say. But he says, Ufanisi aniya, Omar Shlomo, im kemasha hayisi machkim al divrei soira. That I tried to outwise, to make myself wise concerning words of Torah. And I wanted to show that I can discern the way of Torah. I know the way the Torah thinks and I can work around it. That understanding, that discernment was really, even though he's Chacham Mikol Adam, Shel Hoyleilos V'Sichlus Hoyu. Even that was Hoyleilos and Sichlus, it was just rubbish, was what my British friends would say. It just wasn't true. Lama, why was it not true? And Shlomo continues in the Pasuk that he says, Ufanisi ani, I turned away. Why was what I said hoylelus v'sichlus? Ki meho adam shiyoch v'yachri amelech is asher kvar osul. Who is the person who can come after the king, meaning and to either abolish or reinterpret, reassess the words that the king has already decided? Mihu sheyir rashi lahar rachar midosav ugzeirosav shel melech malchei amlochem hakadosh baruch hu dvor maasher him chatzuvim milafonav. Who is the one who would ever be permitted to have thoughts against the attributes or against the ways that God does things, his modus operandi, or his decrees that are already carved out, they're engraved, they're hallowed from before him. God hallowed it. He didn't give us any room to change anything. Shekol dover v'dover sheyetze milufonov, any statement, any decision, as it were, dover doesn't just mean a thing. Dover usually means something that is concrete. So any dibur, any word, any saying, any decision that comes out from Hashem, terem hu nimlach b'famalya shel mala, before it is decided, Hashem consults the upper panels. It says Asuhu, that they made it in plural. It starts with a singular. Hamelech is a singular, the king. And then Isasher Kfar Asu, what they made. So Hashem consults his upper panels, which is a way of Hashem's humility, as if to show that there is someone else doing things over here. In other words, the Marzav adds on this. Everyone explains what I said, that Asuhu is plural. But then the Marzav here says, Vahakavona, what it means to say is, Sheinoi oise v'goyzer l'fi godloi v'choychoi. What is the inyan over here? And I mentioned something that's also in Chazal, that Rashi says in Parshas Bereishis, that Hashem had shown humility as if he's consulting others, as if he needs them. But here the Marzav is going to say another angle. I don't think there's any fundamental disagreement, but it is another angle. And he says when Hashem makes and decrees, it's not necessarily commensurate with his strength, with his greatness. That's way too much. Elo rather, lefi koach habruim v'hamalochim mishorsov shebora lahanhigo oilam. He conducts the world according to the capacity of those that were created and the malochim that serve him, that he created them to lead the world, to conduct the world. So Hashem uses, and this is more deeply discussed obviously in Kabbalah, which it is, that Hashem uses different forms of conduits to go straight down from his essence, from his atzilus, from his nobility or royalty, to go straight down into creation. So for that, he accompanies various midas of his keser, of his crown. But in addition to that, there are malachim in panels along each level that were created to fit the needs of whatever level they're serving. So Hashem consults those malachim is a way of meaning that they're his conduits to make things happen in the world according to the level that is meant to unite the world. So Hashem puts it on our level. That's how the Marzav is learning. He could have, but you see, at that time, I mean, Rashi said it. You could fit that in Nasa Adam Betzalmenu V'Chid Musenu, like our form, like our image. You could say that, but the point is, over there wasn't a direct effect on any human being directly at that time. With Shlomo HaMelech and with decrees as they come along and are installed in the world, Hashem once puts it in such a way that it's on their level. But the truth is, that's not a contradiction to Rashi and Chumash at all, because maybe that's part of God's humility, is that he does things in different levels and doesn't just leave them to what's good for him on his level, whatever that might mean.
It's a quick question about Shlomo HaMelech, but his heart being turned. I mean, do we know how much his heart was turned? I mean, he was so wise, we could we say that it wouldn't have been towards Chas V'Shalom of Azor.
No, not him personally, but still, he was a king, and there was a house of Avodah Zorah that he allowed to be built. So it's not simple, and of course we can't judge a Shlomo HaMelech. We're not Shlomo HaMelech, but what it means, to what extent, we can't know. But there isn't Chazal that he didn't make an actual Aveira, but still, it wasn't Shlomo HaMelech's level.
But the Midrash is finding fault with him, clearly.
Of course it's finding fault. Yeah, we're finding fault. The question is, he's asking how much fault. And we try to be Mamayit, that's very true. But there was something done, you know. I'm just saying, he didn't go, did he go Buksach, did he go Baal to Avodah Zarah? God forbid, that he didn't do. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's right. There's an Arichas on that, in the long discussion in Abar Benel, exactly what he did and to what extent he did. But I mean, without that, the simple mashmos is he did make it look like it could have been acceptable. That's the simple way. But anyway, that's what we have over here. So everything that comes out, step number one is, it is given to the panels upstairs that represent the level that is appropriate for human beings. Umaydiya lohem hadavar, it says Hashem informs them of the whatever he has in mind. Kaviyachol. Kedei sheyedu v'yoidu kulom kidino dinemis. This way they will know and they will all testify that his judgment is true. It's correct. And his decrees are true. V'chol dvorov bahaskel. And all of God's words are with a seichel. Now, what does that mean? All of these things. It's true. Once I say it's true, then I should hope it's with seichel. So what does that mean? So Lanius Daiti, I think what it means is a simple thing. Something can be factually true doesn't always mean that you can apply it. Sometimes the famous advice the Briskerov gave, although the truth is far less people knew on their own to give this advice. Sometimes if you tell people all of the truth, all of what's factually correct, they won't be able to handle it or follow it. So Seichel dictates what you tell them and also how you tell them and at what stage you tell them. You can't tell something to someone that they're not ready for. I'm a beginner in math. You'll tell me calculus, it might all be true. But telling it to me won't be Bahaskel. I'm not ready for it. I can't, ich kann es nicht sakayen, as you'd say in Yiddish. I can't chew it. It's all true. It's all great. The same as in halacha things, in learning. You can't give something to someone that's not on their level. So Hashem's emes is an essence of truth that's far beyond what we can handle. But what he gives us is right on the level that we can deal with it. Doesn't mean that higher levels are given to us. They're also true. Doesn't mean they have to be given to us. We're not ready for them. Sometimes it's hard to accept that, but that's what I think that the Midrash here means. And that fits very well with what we learned in the Marzav, because the Marzav says that there are different panels based on Hashem applying things on the level that humankind can handle. So that's what it means. They know that Hashem transcends all of that. There are panels up there. So their testimony is God's levels and his truth are much higher, but his words as applied to you are Bahaskel. That I think fits very well in Pshutan Shel Dvarim here. V'chein hu oimer, and as he says, and the shatz also in his Rishus on Shachris of Yom Kippur uses this posik at the end called Imras Eloi Katzrufa. Every saying of God is tzrufa, is refined. Now, what does refinement mean in this context? It's like refining a metal. So we come across it in different learnings that we do. It means very often there's a large substance. Not all of it is value. There's all types of dross and other things that come with metals. And that's what does it say over there in the Navi in Yeshaya? Vetzreif kabor sigoich. Right? I'll refine like a clear substance. A bor is either a clear substance or a type of a cleansing agent. You see, goyich, your dross. And it says the word soruf, that the words of God are refined because sometimes there's extraneous material that might not be of value or it might not be of current value, and we have to sort it out. That's what the refinement is. Get it in the right way. It's sometimes refining our speech, refining our character, doesn't mean necessarily, it might sometimes mean this, but it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I'm evil, I'm bad, and I got to get rid of it. Sometimes, yeah, but sometimes it's just you have some sharp edges that have to be smoothed off a little bit. So that's what Siruf does. That's the little polish or the little refinement we need to perfect. sometimes you refine a speech. You want to speak, you have ideas, but you want to bring it out in brevity, that it should be short and it shouldn't bore the crowd. And you want the right words that will penetrate the crowd, that they'll be able to absorb what you're saying in the right way, in the right level. So that's all siruf. That's all called refinement, where we're taking out what is extraneous for our purposes. It might be extraneous, period. It might not be. It might just be extraneous for our purposes, and we're removing it to have what we need exactly for our purpose. So that Simra Saleikat Srufa is the sayings of God are also in their way. We don't know how. I don't think any of us have been up there to find out how. But Hashem has a way of every word of his, and what's relevant and where it's relevant and what level is tzrufas, is refined. Vo'imer, and another pasuk in Daniel, which is Daniel is mostly in Aramaic, Bigzeiras Irin Piskama. With the decree of Irin is a word that's used in the Tanakh mostly for malachim, that in the saying of the Irin is, I'm sorry?
Saying the
Zmiris,
Irin Kaddishin.
Yeah, Irin Kaddishin are malachim. The Zmiris, whoever Yisrael Hager was, but he got it from here, from Daniel. Bigzeiras Irin Piskama. In the decree or in the cutting out of the malachim is with a word. And it says there afterwards, Uvamaymer Kaddishin She'ilta, that our questions, our requests come with a mimer of Kaddishin, which means that Klal Yisrael asks the Malachim, and then Kaviyochel Hashem, I meant, asks the Malachim, and then Kaviyochel they decree. So they're as if it were also their Gezeira. So says Shloime HaMelech, now it's said on me that my error, and now I understand what the concepts of these psukim are. Shelefi shehirharti achar maisav nichshalti. Since I had thoughts to challenge the words of Hashem as if they don't always apply to me personally, therefore I tripped, ichob gahata duchval, I fell under. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech realized. Okay, now we come to our parsha. As we explained yesterday, the Midrashim style, which is common.
So again, so this is mashma that it was a punishment?
Yeah. This seems to say it was a punishment, yeah.
So Be'etlem, he was on the Medrega, that he could have...
Okay. That depends if you that has no bearing on here. Any way you want to learn over here, that doesn't change. Whether it was a gzeira from Hashem that he should fail or he wasn't able to pass either way, this works either way. Either way, that was just the way I was medayik the medrash, and I showed you that the Yefei Toyer doesn't say like that. But here it doesn't matter. No matter what happened, it doesn't matter. He says, I tried to challenge God. I failed. Why did he fail? He might have failed because he couldn't do it, or he could have failed because Hashem didn't allow him to. This doesn't compel any point of view. Yeah. Now comes to the second thing. Ketzad Nemar al Moshe. How did the challenge of the Pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech, first we went until now a little off the subject, as the Midrash usually does, and then it rears back to the Parsha. Now we're going to rear back to the Parsha. How over here was the Pasuk of Shlomo of Panisi Ani that I spent my whole time trying to see what real wisdom is and what the opposite is. How does that apply to Moshe? Did Moshe Rabbeinu try what Shlomo did? So let's see. So he says, Lefi shekvar hoidiya HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yaniach oisam paro leilech. Hashem already told Moshe at the beginning He's going to quote the pasuk. We just read it last Shabbos. Hashem was already Moidia, he already notified Moshe that Paro at the beginning, Vani Yodati Ki Lo Yitein Eschem Melech Mitzrayim La'aloich. We'll see the quote soon. He knew that Hashem says, I know, Kaviyochel, that Melech Mitzrayim will not let all of you people leave. And I'm going to harden him. I'm going to harden his resolve. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vani Yodati, Hashem is speaking here, and he says, I, God, know. I knew already, even though I knew what will happen, because by God there are no tenses. So I know that the king of Mitzrayim will not allow you to go. Vani achasek l'sliboy, I will harden his heart. Umoshe leishomar esadover hazeh. Moshe, for some reason, didn't preserve this. There are reasons given why, but the fact is he did not preserve this part of the statement. Elo bol hischakim al gzeirosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He comes as if he is wiser than God and saying, Hashem, your gzeira, just in plain English, ain't working. It's not the way I speak English, but is not working. It just not going. Paro got harder. Now, some Mefarshim tried to defend Moshe a little bit by saying that Moshe did not realize that it would get harder. He only thought Melech Mitzrayim is going to say, as we say in Yiddish, Loi Mitan Aleph. He's going to say, Lo with an Aleph. No leaving. But it got rougher, that part Moshe did. But still, that will explain what Moshe didn't understand, but still he used pretty harsh language, as we will quote soon, the end of the Parsha, and he began to say, Hashem, Lama Hori Yosa, La'om Hazeh? Why did you do harm to this nation? Which seems to suggest what those Mefarshim say. If it would have been its status quo with a plain no, that's one thing. So, but Moshe didn't understand. He was Loi Shamar Sadavar. According to me, he was Shamar, he just didn't watch it in the right way. But for a Moshe Rabbeinu, not watching it in the right way is not watching it. If there's supposed to be maximum security and I turn it to minimum, and minimum isn't enough, then that means there's no security. So that's the same thing.
It wasn't the way he said it. Perhaps he could have just what's going on. He was a little bit.
The Loma Hare Yosa is the indictment. If he would have asked Hashem, this happened, I did the shlichus, what's the next step? Okay, that's normal. But when he says Lama Hari Yosa, as if God is orchestrating something to go downhill, that was not the right way to put it. That's all. What you're saying is basically Mefarshim and Chumash say that also. I'm sorry. You can say that he held Moshe to a higher standard. You could say that, but I don't know if you need to go that far here. You know, when there would be something, if any of us would say to God, Lama Hare Yosa, we would probably be accountable also. You know, when there's something that normally Hashem wouldn't be so harsh with it could be in the punishment to Moshe that he'll never see Eretz Yisrael. Maybe over there he was harsher than he might have been to a lesser person. That's possible too, yeah. But I don't know if at this point I have to say that it's medakta kechut asayra, that Hashem is more meticulous with those who are closer to him. I don't know if that's what we need at this point. But if it works, it works. Anyway, hischiloden lefonov. So he started judging and deliberating before Hashem, which is in the Midrash in last week's Parsha. That he started judging that Yira Hashem Aleichem v'yishpoit. Some of it is already in the Psukim. So va'al zenemar, on that Shlomo HaMelech could say she'oisa chochma v'das shel Moshe shel hoilulis v'sichleis hayu, that wisdom and discernment of Moshe was really empty, or it was laughable and it was foolish.
Melech is talking negative about Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, that's what God because he's saying it in Ruach HaKodesh. He's not just chatting with a little Lekach and Bronfen. I mean, he's told Beruach HaKodesh. It's for us to learn from. Ki meho odom sheyovo yachrei hamelech. Who is he to come after the king? Why is he coming and thinking about God for what they made already? Now he's going to say a little bit of a different, slightly different angle here on this. What are you thinking? God already let you in on the message. He revealed that he's going to harden Paro in order to judge him more harshly because of his harsh treatment of the Klal Yisrael. So on that it says, "Valdover ze biksha midas hadin lifkoya b'moisha." This goes back to our original question that the posuk seemed to switch gears. We had that question. It starts Vayera Elohim el Moshe. That Elohim means Hashem in his midah of judgment, ungewiesen, he made himself appear to Moshe. And Vayedaber is also a harsher language, especially when it's juxtaposed in one pasuk with Vayomer. Vayomer, then it says, Vayomer Elov, he said to him, which is a softer language, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Havaya, which is Rachmim. So now we're going to come to that. So in the beginning of the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking as if he has an indictment, God forbid, against God. So on that it says, Vayedaber Elohim el Moshe. Elohim spoke harshly, he's judging Moshe. So the Midas Hadin was ready to swing and not miss and get Moshe. However, why does it end with a softer language and with the language of Havaya, which is compassion? So, Lefisha Nistakla Kodesh Borchu Shebisfil Tsar Yisrael Diberkein, since Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking the way he's speaking out of pain for Klal Yisrael, and as we know, Klal Yisrael and Hashem is one entity. So that means even though Moshe Rabbeinu might have been open to criticism for speaking so sharply, but he did it out of the pain of Klal Yisrael. And as we know, the Torah, Klal Yisrael, and Hashem is all one. So the pain of Klal Yisrael is the pain of Hashem. So that's a different thing there. But so, Chozar v'Nagim b'Midas Rachmim, that's why there was a little bit of a stay of execution here, that he wasn't immediately punished, he was shown displeasure, Kaveh Yochel by Hashem, Vayedaber Elohim, he was shown that no, and the other Midrashim say that they take a swing back, and Yalkut, I believe you'll find it, and the Rishonim over here bring this Midrash, that in the Chumash, that Hashem says, taking the Pasuk that he said before, Re'ei Nesatichi Elohim Lefaroi, he says, I'll make you a judge over Paro. But velo Elohim olai, I made you a judge for Paro, and the Midrash adds, but not a judge over me. So that's where the punishment, the harsh part came in. I think it's legal, it's kosher to insert that piece here, even though the Midrash doesn't openly say it over here, but it's another Midrashim. But then he said it was out of pain and compassion. Still, you shouldn't have expressed yourself that way, but a severe punishment won't fit the crime. So then it was Midas Rachmim. Then it switches language to Amira, that he said to him with a softer language, especially compared to or contrasted to Dibur. Vayomer is softer. Ani, I am the Yudke Vovke, the Havaya, that is Midas Ha. That is Midas Harachmim. So he kind of toned down.